Hi, and welcome to Chatting Pictures, the Irish Film Review. Sponsored by Hang Sandwich. Funny and punny Irish t-shirts.
Quality apparel. Fast delivery.
He's got nothing.
Great designs.
I have nothing. World class fashionistas.
That's not going for board.
True.
So this week we're reviewing the Irish movie, comedy, horror, that is Grabbers. This week we've got with us James McAnaspe, YouTuber, actor, director.
Absent father.
I'm not a fucking absent father, right? I took very considerable precautions to avoid that scenario. Alright.
So did you take the
ultimate precaution?
No,
the ultimate precaution. Celibacy.
The Canadian government advice during lockdown was, instead of actually having sex, maybe go to a glory hole. Have a barrier method in between.
I didn't actually use that either, but I had to stop rimming too, so it's been a fucking nightmare for me this whole fucking thing.
And also this week we've got William Devine, lead designer of Hang Sandwich.
Yes, Ireland's sweetheart.
Ireland's sweetheart, Bonnie Baby.
1985, Bonnie Baby. And also world class
civil servant.
Everything? Civil servant? I've never been civil in my life, and I've never served anybody in my life.
You serve the great British public, don't you, Wilma? You civil serving scumbag.
How dare you ever say that to me again?
What'll you do if I say that to you again?
Get you out.
And also, that's we've got a special guest from Österreich in Austria.
Österreich is Austria.
Andreas Scheuger. Now, the funniest thing about Andreas is that his bedroom is the second best reviewed holiday trip in Vienna, only beaten by the Wurstel stand in front of the Rat House. And I like myself a good bratwurst. So, willkommen in Ireland, Andreas.
Thank you for the invitation.
Bit the shit. And how are you enjoying it here? Gefällt es Ihnen here?
Es gefällt mir sehr gut, ja. Irland ist eine wunderschöne Insel.
Danke.
Es ist sehr grün.
Also, wir wünschen dir ein wunderbaren Zeit.
Ja, vielen lieben Dank.
Say something about Dick.
I'm sure it's long. So your bedroom is the second best Airbnb.
Well, I'm absent since 2 weeks, so I hope it doesn't affect my TripAdvisor rating that much. But it could be that I'm on third place now, maybe fourth place.
Why is it second? What's the
amenities?
What's the unique selling point that gives us that extra 4.9 out of 5?
That's for me to know and for you to find out. But I give you a pro tip: you can just read the TripAdvisor.
Do you wish to take over our podcast marketing?
Speaking of TripAdvisor reviews, I believe you felt moved to give a flat zero to somewhere on TripAdvisor this weekend. Where was that?
Well, actually, yes, I was actually very disappointed about my trip to the Cabaret Supper Club.
Where is that?
It's in Belfast. Uh-huh. Now, everything was really nice about it. The performance was really
good. The ambience?
Yeah. But now when we were chatting about the food came down and everything, and then the waiter there said to me, sent to Andreas, oh, how did you enjoy your food? And Andreas said, oh, this was really, like, it was the best food I've ever had on the island of Ireland. And the waiter walked away and turned around and went, Northern Ireland?
I felt the burn there.
Yeah, which I don't think was a very nice thing to say, you know, because, you know, I wasn't getting into politics. If you want me to get into politics, I will get into politics, but not when I'm out having a nice, fun time.
Well, there's nothing fun about Northern Ireland.
Exactly. Where?
You never
heard of it?
Well, exactly. But what they've just done, right? So Andreas gave it a very glowing review, said it was the best place in the country, or even two countries, if you want to even go that way.
No.
And
they
just said, no, we're not. We're the best in the shitty part of the country.
Northern Ireland, that is.
Exactly.
That is true.
What has made you want to be part of this podcast, Andreas, other than the fact that we paid you?
I think I developed Stockholm syndrome on my trip to Ireland, and I found myself sitting on this couch with three different men.
Raging alcoholics,
and I couldn't leave because I'm not on anybody's insurance, so I can't operate a vehicle safely.
A
around here.
You're free to leave anytime you want.
You're actually telling an Austrian that they're free to leave at any point. Just ask Joseph Fritzl's daughter. That is not a thing that Austrians know well.
Yes, that is true.
Or Natasha Kumplech.
Kampusch.
Kampusch, yeah. She got a talk show. If she can get a talk show.
She had a talk show. Yeah.
I'm sure we can get a talk show.
Wait, what?
She always had her eyes closed when she was talking to
you.
Just to give you a flavour of what we're like in this show, we've already brought fucking Irish politics and fucking Joseph Fritzl jokes in.
There was actually a Fritzl Schnitzel.
I would like a Fritzl Schnitzel.
Well, that was Ben.
Well, now talking about
incest.
talk about rampant incest.
Talking about alcoholism. This week our movie was Grabbers, and so Grabbers, an island is invaded by aliens called Grabbers, and the only way for people to survive is to drink. So this week we watched Grabbers. And,
we did, I really enjoyed it so far. I can't give me a review until the end, obviously.
Can't give you a review until after we discuss the writers, directors, and how the movie done.
I had seen it before. I saw it with you. I don't know where we watched it. I assume Netflix in Dublin.
I think we watched it on Netflix, but I think it was at our house home.
Our home, was it? So, yeah, it was kind of good seeing it again.
And this was your first time watching Grabbers?
So it was, yeah.
It isn't the first time we've experienced it, but the first time you've watched it.
Can I ask you what you thought the movie was going to be about when you heard the phrase Grabbers?
About like this squad of old ladies in a retirement home with a wee grabbing stick and cleaning up the environment.
Cleaning up the environment?
I assumed it was going to be the documentary of Harvey Weinstein.
Well, yeah, I first heard of it, it was when, like, a lot of people I knew were getting roles in it. And when I say roles, they were being extras. And they kept, like, going on Facebook, Grabbers, another Grabbers shoot today, watch out for Grabbers. And I genuinely thought it was a film about fucking, you know, sexual deviance of some sort. Completely.
Because it was your friends?
Well, as you know, I don't really have friends. But
that's because you grabbed them too much.
Yeah, well, possibly. But so Grabbers as a title, what do you reckon?
A bit weird.
I don't think the title really did it justice.
No.
Yeah, but you know that it is a horror flick there.
But
with Grabber.
The thing is, I was chatting with somebody and I told them I was going to watch Grabbers. They asked me what it was about and told them, well, it was a horror film, and they said they thought it was about, you know, the Gypsy Wedding or something on Channel 4.
Yes, yeah, so exactly. Yeah.
They all thought that the girl was chatting, they thought that Grabbers was something to do with
gypsies.
Like getting grabbed with travellers.
Grabbing in the travelling culture is when you yank a girl by her hair and just kiss her because you're allowed to do that.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's called grabbing.
Yeah, and you're
so
meant to, like,
you grab them and then you just kiss them, and that's the mating ritual of the cigogna.
Is that what the quiet man bit was about then?
Pardon?
Was the quiet man grabbing? Because that's literally what he did.
Yeah, he was. Was he a grabber or was he a traveller?
Well, he did travel and he did have a big cart with his bed on it, so...
That was a big bed, right? Big cart?
In hindsight, the quiet man was gypsy propaganda, is that right?
Could possibly quite be.
Possibly.
So, what do we know about this movie? Last week, William, I started with you, I think. But now, before we even do any more, today I'm having an Austrian spritzer.
What? Because Andreas is here?
Because Andreas is here, yep. I like to... I know I'm supposed to be having an Irish drink, but because Andreas came, I thought to myself, well, I'm going to make myself an Austrian spritzer.
This is the land of 100,000 welcomes, so... What are you drinking, Andreas?
I'm drinking the East Belfast Special.
Oh, what is the East Belfast Special?
Buckfast tonic wine.
And what do you think of it? What do you think of your first drink in Ireland?
Buckfast gets you fucked fast.
Can you tell us anything interesting about Buckfast tonic wine? Is that any famous people, drunk Buckfast tonic wine?
Well, I think the Queen was greeted with the complimentary mug of Buckfast tonic wine when she visited Camp Twaddell back in, what was it, 2006? However, she refused to use the shite bucket.
Hang on, a lot of unpack here. The Queen was at Camp Twaddell.
Yeah, so it was.
Yes.
It wasn't lead. It wasn't lead. saw it on the internet. Must
be true. Well, no, I'm all from Rome.
She had like the potato, cheese, and onion sandwich, something. And
yeah, but she only liked the Nordy tato, I heard.
Yeah,
so
that'll be her, all right. It must be true.
It must be true. And James, have you tried any of William's new brew this week?
I have not. Not just yet. I'm working through my Buckfast Gets You Fucked Fast contingent. So after that, I will then go into the home brew.
This week, I am drinking blackcurrant cider. I think it's about...
Just blackcurrant?
No, it's apple cider with blackcurrant in it.
It's an apple cider manufactured in China.
Yeah. So anyway, James, what can you tell us about the movie Grabbers? Rawr.
Grabbers. Rawr. Grabbers was made in 2012, and it was directed by John Wright, a director who was born in Belfast. It was his second feature-length production following Tormented, a movie made in 2009, which was a teen horror movie. I'm not familiar with it. Is anyone else familiar with it?
Tormented?
No.
Basically, the premise is a girl is bullied and she goes back from the dead and wreaks her revenge, is all I know about it. This was followed by Robot Overlords, involving Sir Ben Kingsley, who's very good at brightening up through his career.
Well, like
were they British Robot Overlords?
Again, I don't know, but the title implies an imperialist bent. and currently in pre-production, possibly delayed by the lockdown, etc., is a movie he's doing called Little People, where a bunch of English tourists come to Ireland and they discover some little people. So he was born in Belfast, but he seems to have grown up in England, but he's had a good workaday career ever since, doing TV episodes, etc. It was written by Kevin Lahan, who was very difficult to find any information on. It is his first feature-length script, but he got the idea when he found out that Marmite repelled mosquitoes. And Marty's giving me the fucking dirtiest look ever, because I was researching the writer. And I found this bit of information about the writer. Okay, we'll give us more information. Is that a true anecdote?
It's actually not true, but they say it's because Marmite actually has got the B vitamins in it, and B vitamins apparently repel mosquitoes, but unfortunately that is just not true. So can you tell us anything about the actors in this movie? Who starred in this movie?
Yes, I very, very much so on the actors. Who do you want to know about first, the main stars?
Well, yeah, so obviously in this movie there was like a core cast of five people.
Yeah.
So can you tell us about the...
I'll tell you about the two guards first.
Not the two guards. The guard
and the vanguard. Okay. So the guard is Kieran O'Shea. And looking back, I'm trying to remember how many times do you ever hear his name being said, his whole name?
You hear O'Shea 10 times.
Is that
actually what I would really like to know based on other previous podcasts, where was he born?
Well, as you know, I don't have an exact address because...
Ah, right.
To be fair...
pathetic.
He's a Brit.
The qualities of this podcast have diminished entirely.
I know.
I wanted his live postal address.
I wanted his postal address. Like, Beechwood Park.
Yeah, exactly.
Lauren O'Hara or whatever.
I wanted his babysitter's fucking routine. I wanted his...
11 Rathlin Heights.
But you see, the thing is... they're not well enough known for me to get exactly what address they were born in. Now, from now on, I'll phone his parents and find out.
You can literally go to the PRO office. You should know this as a civil servant. You can go to the public records office, you can get the birth, marriages, and deaths. And you'll probably get their voter registration on a...
But that all costs money, and our podcast hasn't made any money.
Yeah,
he's a fucking insider in the fucking CS.
This is a non-for-profit organisation, except for by the T-shirts.
Yeah, by these t-shirts.
Yeah.
None of us are wearing
them.
We're not wearing any this week because...
buy a hang sandwich.
Because the lockdown, obviously.
No, we didn't want McAndreas look like the all one night because he hasn't bought one yet.
Well, that's still okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's waiting for me to buy one.
There's
a
manufacturer in the country next door to him.
Yeah.
Guaranteed Irish.
No.
Designed in Ireland.
Just like Apple, we're designed in Ireland.
Designed in Ireland, yeah.
Designed in Ireland.
But
assembled in Germany.
Vorsprung durch Technik.
Yes, Vorsprung durch Technik.
That's why it's quality apparel.
Unlike Apple, we do not owe hundreds of millions in tax. We always pay the tax that we are due.
Exactly. And the original founders are all still alive.
Right, I'll tell you. Right, so the main character is Garda Kieran O'Shea, who's Richard Coyle. Now, he was born on the 27th of February. What year do you think, what age do you think he is when that film was?
So that film was out in 2012.
Yes.
So
1976.
I would say it was maybe, he's definitely older than me. So I would say
literally giving you the year, right?
Well,
yeah. He was born in 1973, which means he was 40 when the film came out. He looked alright for 40.
Lordy Darty, lucky he's 40.
He was from Sheffield in Yorkshire in England, supposedly. I didn't know Sheffield was in Yorkshire. Probably could have took a stab of it.
Yorkshire's massive.
That's Leeds is in Yorkshire, is it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you about the band Garda next time. Okay? Band Garda is Ruth Bradley, whose first name is Sharon.
I thought she was quite good looking.
Right, fair enough, Marley. Well done.
You hardly want to Joseph yourself.
No, I didn't. I liked her.
Yeah, she was quite good in the film.
She's got a nice smile.
Yeah.
She actually won the IFTA for Best Actress for this film.
This role.
Yeah, in 2013 awards.
I don't research these movies very often because I host this podcast, even though it was my idea.
Are you going to talk about why she's so good acting drunk?
Yes, I was.
Go on.
I have to at least have one point here. So the director of this movie, actually what he done was he filmed them drunk the first night of filming, and then he played it back to them. He got them absolutely sloshed, played it back to them, and then he made them act like that when they were drunk, and that's why she was doing the whole finger thing.
That's a good idea.
She was like this, because apparently that's what she was doing when she was drunk. So she actually learned from what the director did, and actually they filmed this whole thing.
Yeah, that's what she did. So she won that. She's actually born the same day as myself, 24th of January.
That was a good day.
That was a good day, yeah.
So if you were a fine wine, is she older or younger than you?
She is 2 years younger. She was 1987. Which disgusts me because I think I look younger.
Making her Gemini.
Making her. No, she isn't Nadine Coyle. She was a dairy girl. That's good. Whatever they. What else about her? There's very few because she was so young. There's not too much, but I saw that she actually lived in Newfoundland, Canada.
Which is basically like Ireland.
Until she was, yeah, it's basically in Newfoundland. That's where that film Calvary set, isn't it? Newfoundland.
Yeah. They've got an Irish accent in Newfoundland.
Newfoundland, aye.
Or as they like to call it,
Newfoundland.
Yeah, but isn't this like part of Quebec, like the French speaking minorities?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They speak English there.
They speak English and an Irish accent.
Yeah.
But do they speak French as well?
I don't know, I've never been there, Andreas. I'm not a globetrotter.
Oh, it looks like Ireland. They speak an Irish accent, so you must be an expert in
Newfoundland. I am an expert in everything, thank you very much.
Well, now we won't have no cross-community arguments here. Yeah. Austrian, Irish, aggressor, what? Neutral.
I'm the worst victim of this argument.
Austria's a neutral country.
Austria's a neutral
country. What about when you're a part of the Third Reich?
Well...
He wasn't part of it.
We were the first victim, you know.
Austria was the first
but
victim.
But I want to bring up Austria-Hungary.
We weren't the aggressor. Our Archduke was shot, I have you know. And we only made an ultimatum to Serbia. And then everyone else thought
just
they should
in.
Join the party.
You know, them Serbs up to no good again.
I know, the black hands.
Exactly, you know.
See, normal people, right? Not all your fucking, you know, Habsburgs and fucking... ruling families.
You seem like you've got a Habsburg chin. Oh, wait, no, it's just a double chin. Sorry about that.
Can you stretch yourself on the chin there? Please.
Which one?
Right, what else? Oh, I saw. So, our first screen appearance was in 2002 in Ultimate Force with Ross Kemp.
Nice.
In 2007, she presented the 4th Irish Film and Television Awards in 2007. She won the IFTA Award then for Best Supporting Actress. She was in Stardust about the nightclub in Dublin burning down.
What about the supporting cast in this movie?
Well,
so
the supporting cast, there's obviously Russell George Tovey. It says Tovey began his career as a child actor.
So his father didn't want him to be a marine biologist, like in this movie, no?
Not like in this movie, no.
No.
Though I was disgusted by his lack of drinking abilities in this.
Well, we can discuss that later
we
on.
We'll discuss
stop bringing the body of the podcast into the head of the show.
He has a lot of credits.
He was in Eastsiders on Netflix, I watched that.
Yeah, he's in a lot of things. He's been in 87 credits as an actor. He was in Being Human, which I watched, where he played the werewolf. He's in Him and Her, which is quite a good.
He's also part of the LGBTQI+ community.
Yes.
And he played a straight character in this movie, which I think we should all clap for.
Well, do you want to hear? Do you want to hear about this?
Second.
Yeah,
yes,
there's more to this.
Do you want to hear about this controversy that I've
dug
up?
Oh,
spicy.
Hold on a second. Can we actually cut for 2 seconds so we can put in some, like, spicy music?
Okay, so I read this. It says, in 2015, Tovey was the subject of public criticism from the LGBT+ press.
Where's the Q and I?
That is in the plus. Regarding comments he made about effeminate gay men, in his interview with Tom Lamont of The Observer, the actor stated that his schooling made him feel as though he had to toughen up, going on to say, if I had been able to relax, prance around and sing in the street, I might be a different person now. Much of the criticism centred on what was perceived to be a passive criticism of a feminine gay man, with Tovey saying that, I thank my dad for that, for not allowing me to go down that path. Tovey later apologised for the remark and suggested that he did not reflect his views.
So his own words didn't reflect his
views? Yes, his own words.
So let me just parse that. So basically he's happy that his dad fucking beat the fuck out of him for being a bit fruity, is basically what he's saying.
Can you say a bit fruity? You just cancelled yourself, Maga.
I'm just like an SB. I am cancelled. But that's what I mean. So he was happy that he was given the old eating fucking, you know, toughen up boy schooling.
Surely the eating toughen up boy is
soggy biscuit.
So he was cancelling himself back then.
Alright, so briefly go through the rest of them then, because you've got fucking shitloads there and you've already taken about 3 hours.
So we've got Brona Gallagher, who plays Una Maher on it. She won the IFTA for Best Supporting Actress for this film. She's from Derry, obviously. She was a hairdresser.
She's a Derry girl.
She's a former hairdresser. Her big break was obviously starring as Bernie in The Commitments, 1991.
Exactly.
That's why I'm not saying too much about her, because it's all going to come up later on. After that, she was in Pulp Fiction. She was in Star Wars Episode 1. She was in Marley and Me, Mary Riley, Divorcing Jack.
But I love the way everyone just brushes over the fact she was in one of the most important films of the 20th century.
What do you mean?
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, she was in Pulp Fiction, yeah.
Do you remember
she was
John Travolta was getting the heroin deal?
Yeah.
He goes, and
so
the
dealer.
Is she the girlfriend of him?
No.
The dealer was like, so what do you think of such and such right there? She's available. She goes, is she the one with all that shit in her face? And he goes, no, that's my wife. Brona Gallagher played the other one. He was actually trying to set her up.
And
with
Mustafa, yeah.
Yeah. Right. But
and he went, no. No.
Well, did she have the coke nose when he said no? Or was her nose on a nice level at that stage?
Well, she looked very different in this film than even when I seen her live. And she looked more recognisable when I seen her live to the other films I've seen her in.
I thought she was brilliant in this movie.
She was quite good in this.
She was so funny, like, she was so nice. And I cut out all the coke nose stuff, so.
No, you're not. It's on camera anyway. I've got the power. Mike's hot.
Right. Patty Barrett's character, and it's Lawler Roddy.
Later,
is it?
Yeah, I assume so.
Later,
nice.
Yeah, I would say later.
Is it later?
Taylor.
Yes, he was born 30th of November 1954, Belfast.
Do you have a geographical compass point so we know where site he is?
I have like a GPS like code this put into my phone so I can find where I'm finding.
Alright, from now on I will make sure that I can stalk people to
adequate degree.
If you don't say why I'm in this podcast next week, then you know he's been fired for not getting GPS coordinates for this.
If we don't have dental records of the next.
Who can afford the dentist anymore? The NHS doesn't pay for it. Jesus Christ, my
guy. He was described by the Irish Times theatre critic Fintan O'Toole. He was described as surely the finest Irish actor of his generation. He was in Hunger, Cherry Bomb, 5 Minutes from Heaven, The Maze, The Good Man Again, The Devil's Doorway. Founded Tinderbox Theatre Group in Belfast.
He founded it?
Yeah, he's one of the 3 founding members with Tim Nolan.
They're
more than
to hire me for some reason.
Why won't they hire you though?
Why won't they hire you?
Well, at me being a bitter, unsuccessful actor, I did actually want to bring up a whole big thing about the cast of this film. He's not one of the things I want to bring up about, but there does seem to be like one or two very gilded agents in Belfast who just get everyone on their books, gets all the roles. This is one of those. Oh, Marty's walking out.
No.
Tinderbox is one of those companies I've worked with that they wouldn't. They never paid me. I was one of the background.
They didn't pay you?
Yeah, so I was one of the fucking background extras ones. All these ones love fucking getting all these actors in who will do the work because they want to build the connections with the major theatre companies, and they love just not fucking paying them and wondering why there's tension between the ones getting paid and the ones not getting paid.
Or is it the fact that they know that because you don't have like a massive profile, and they're like, if you are going to upset them, you're never going to get paid because they'll never hire you. So you can't protest by the fact, because like obviously these actors are like these model agencies to get these young girl models on their sofa.
Well, I've got whole stories about that, the whole fucking Harvey Weinstein in Belfast and everything.
Were you ever attacked by Harvey Weinstein in Belfast?
No, but I did live about 10 blocks away from Kevin Spacey.
That's true.
So did I.
I do know that.
So did I.
I heard about the story of him getting his nose broken the night after it happened. So, you know.
Nice.
I was close. Was that
have
close?
Have you got the Bible with Kevin Spacey on it?
I actually do have it with me, but it's not. Obviously, the Bible's from 2002.
This movie was actually a commercial flop. It only made $433,000 on a budget of $5.6 million.
That's dollars. I was about to say it's a budget of $4
million. Yeah, it was $5.6
million. What the fuck are they spending $4 million on this one?
It was filmed in Rathlin Island.
Mm-hmm.
And also the beach scenes were all filmed off Donegal.
So. Alexa, tell me about the Irish film Grabbers.
Damon Wise of Empire Film magazine described it as a romantic but surprisingly scary monster movie that feels like a lost Amblin flick, shaken and stirred with a dash of the guard. A finely crafted tribute to a long-lost style of filmmaking stands up in its own right, too.
Thanks, Alexa. Thanks. Well, welcome back to the Chatting Pictures podcast, sponsored by Hang Sandwich. So, now we're going to get into reviewing of the movie.
Yes.
So,
I let our guest go first.
Yeah. Andreas, what did you think of this movie?
Yeah, it was actually alright. Like, I didn't expect much, and I was not disappointed. There was lots of drinking involved, which suited the whole Irish setting. I think it was an Irish music, actually.
Racism? That's racist.
Well, Andreas has just been cancelled.
But the thing is that it's not racist because they are actually playing with their own stereotypes, so...
Yeah.
It's like watching a movie with Eddie Murphy, maybe. No,
should we just leave that hanging? Like a grabber.
So James, what did you think of this movie?
I feel I'm going to be the descending voice, so I want to hear what everyone else says first, because what I heard, I was in the house while the rest of you were watching it, and it sounded like you were having a much better time than I was when I was watching it, so I wanted you to go first. And
well, William, what did you think of this movie?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Second time seeing it. We saw it together, I don't know, must be 3 or 4 years ago, was it?
Yeah.
And I quite enjoyed it then, I quite enjoyed it now. I thought there was a lot in it. I think it's very, there's a lot of like scenes in it, or like parodies and stuff and all. Andreas, what did you hear at the very start? What sound did you hear?
Wilhelm scream, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a Wilhelm scream right at the very start of the film. There's lots in it, there's stuff about there's obviously like the eggs opening up and attacking your face like aliens, stuff like this here.
Yeah,
face huggers, stuff like this. The music's very like, yeah, it's very like Goonies or something like that, you know.
Yeah, all the tunes sound a wee bit familiar, don't they?
They do, yeah, all the tunes sound familiar. It had everything. You could actually see, you were researching about Rathlin Island, Donegal, I have to say. It looks really well. It's wet all the time, just like real life, especially today. It was like wet for like 20 hours today.
Well, wasn't that I thought that was a really good thing about the movie. They actually made a parody about the rain in Ireland, so the monster could only live in the wet. Well, where else could it go?
I really enjoyed it. I have to say, everything about it quite loved. There's it's on the background for anybody just listening at the minute, and it's a scene where your fella's just getting eaten. I like the fact that you're just as soon as you're grabbed, you're just like, people are just walking about, not knowing where they are because they're drunk, and then the thing is just sitting right beside them. It's like, hey, is it correct?
What I actually really liked about this movie is like near the start of the movie, they're watching TV. Obviously, it was RTE, and the film that was on was like, they're coming for you, Barbara.
Yeah.
Was it?
Barbara, they're coming for you, Barbara.
It's
from the Night of the Living Dead.
I was looking that up. Was that Michael Caine or something? No, or just something? It kind of looked like them.
It's from the Night of the Living Dead.
I tried to look that up. Yeah.
And I actually liked that. There was definitely a lot of references from other like horror movies, like the Alien. Like,
yeah, at the end of the big truck.
Yeah. The truck when the like, you know, when Ripley was like killing the alien, they used the digger to go brrr. And I actually thought that was a really good, like, they hark back to quite a lot of classic monster movies to kind of make it fun, and I actually really really enjoyed them. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you look at any reviews online, like even horror movie reviews, they always say that this movie is, even though it lost quite a lot of money, it's going to definitely become a cult classic.
The Fangoria is like the famous horror magazine, given like 2 awards for the best film that year and everything, and it won a lot of awards at different festivals and all when it came out. I have to say I really enjoyed it. I like the portrayal, because of who I am, I really like the portrayal of the pathetic English fella.
I actually love the fact that the English fella couldn't drink.
Yeah, he couldn't.
He
drink.
Was like obviously a twat that no one liked.
And it wasn't that there.
Really, really good.
I like the fact that at the start he was like coming on to like the Vanguard and all, and like she quite liked him or whatever, but it's like, nah, he doesn't have the charm, eh?
No. The scene that's on the TV right now is when the guy fills up this super soaker.
That bit's hilarious.
With vodka, and he's got a candle at the bottom of it, and he runs out onto the thing. He's like, oh, I'm gonna kill you. No one left behind! No one left behind! And he's running out, and he's like, but obviously the candle blows
out in the rain.
And, I think these things are really, really funny.
It is well done, because it's like, you know, in smoking areas when somebody's looking for a light and the two people are drunk and they can't meet the cigarettes together, it takes them about 20 minutes to light the candle wick.
The only thing that I would say maybe might be bad about this movie is the fact that I didn't really know what it was. It kind of played in between like comedy and horror and a wee bit of drama, a wee bit of romantic comedy. But that's the only bad thing I would say. It didn't really stick to one genre of what it was doing. However, I thought that actually maybe worked in its favour. I actually really, really enjoyed this movie. So James, what would you think about this movie?
Well, first I would address, you can do horror and comedy. The pinnacle of it is Shaun of the Dead, which this is basically page for page a rewrite of Shaun of the Dead, which is not necessarily bad thing.
Like, what came out first, this or Shaun of the Dead?
Shaun of the Dead was like
Shaun of the Dead is
5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah. However, I would actually like to comment on this, that you say this is a remake of Shaun of the Dead. However, I think The World's End is a complete remake of this. I think The World's End literally remade this movie for an English audience.
Well, see, The World's End, which is about a group of alcoholics going around doing a pub crawl, so there's that element of it. There's also the element of them all being friends. The aliens thing doesn't actually come in until quite deep into the story, when you're already invested into the story. And then it does go fucking stupid, The World's End. I actually didn't like it that much.
Yeah.
But with this, I had quite a few problems with it. Number one,
He's got the black lung.
All right, black lung.
You know what? Smokers are less likely to die of coronavirus, so I'm not going to stop right
now. That's because they're already dying of fucking lung cancer. It's a good concept for a movie, and the first 10 or 15 minutes are actually really well done, right? So there's this mysterious thing attacking the island, and nobody knows what's going on. Nobody's taking that seriously because they don't have, it's an island with no issues. However, there's a boat of fucking three fishermen have just gone missing. Nobody gives a fuck. A doctor is diagnosing somebody's head, and he just here's a boy I probably see like three times a week. What am I supposed to do with this? This is man's head. It was like, come on, there could be a bit more fucking urgency to the fact that there's people dying on this island, and you can still make it comedic. But it was like, it was so fucking nonsense. Like every fucking character, all the local characters, were just so. Well, I guess that's how it goes. Your man's just been abducted off his roof, and his wife's just been sucked up a chimney. nobody gives a fuck. Like,
yeah,
you know,
she left her slippers there.
She did leave her slippers there.
We completely forgot about those two. Like, do you know what I mean? And it was like. The love story was so fucking hackneyed, and
well, like,
I feel like Sideshow Bob breaking down fucking MacGyver or something like. Like as I said, you can do this like the sublime fucking horror comedy is Shaun of the Dead, and this is trying to get into the same railway as Shaun of the Dead, and it's just missing every beat so badly. Like
I completely disagree.
I disagree.
Maybe it's because you watched it by yourself.
Possibly, yeah, that is a
but I know when I watched this movie, and I watched it with you like years ago, and that's why I really wanted to do this movie. And then when we were watching it together, we all had a really good time watching it. Like we all thought it was actually really funny. Like we were all laughing, and what did you think? So what was your?
Yeah, well, I don't think the horror element is exist like is.
It's not scary.
In the movie. Like it's not scary whatsoever. Like you know, it's one of these horror comedies, and obviously sometimes they're a wee bit cheap, but obviously sometimes you get a really good laugh out of it.
One of my favorite lines of the movie
he gave the
potsheet, and he's like, "Going, you brought potsheet into my bar." Well, a bird doesn't fly in one wing. So I think there's quite a lot of comic moments.
You also liked the line where your fella was describing the priest. He said about, why don't we send the priest out to them? Or let it eat shit and see how it done or something.
But actually, that's another thing as well. Like, they go into the chapel and everyone's sitting there praying. Is it going? They're trying to get everyone to, like, go to this party. No one's going to the party at all. Until they're going, oh, it's a free bar. And you got these old women going up, going like, yeah, let's go to the party. And they're all fucking getting shit-faced at the party. And then when the old woman came up to the bar and she came down, she was like drinking the pint. She was like, ah, it tastes great.
Because after you spiked it, we'll have a bottle of
vodka.
I really, really thoroughly enjoyed this movie. Like, I think this... And you know what, I do think that them, like, American horror... like sites may be right, it is might be a cult classic in years to come.
I want to comment on how good they portrayed the alcoholics or the effects of alcohol that does to you, or what alcohol does to you in this movie.
The bad guard.
I think that means female policewoman or a policewoman. And there was like this bowl of peanuts there, and she's just like grabbing some peanuts while all this wee. Grabber hatchlings crawling about.
Aye, that's right.
It's just such a drunk thing to do.
Okay, so what happened to all those fucking little hatchlings?
Yeah.
Are we supposed to assume that the fire killed them, but it didn't kill all the people who were staying in the upstairs room?
No. But there's still.
Who were trapped in that bar?
There's still eggs at the end. There's still eggs at the end buried in the beach, anyway.
Yeah, but
so.
It's not supposed to be this big.
Yeah, it's
serious
not meant to be.
I get that, like, but you know.
You have fun while watching it.
Probably, as you say, because I watched it on my own, so comedies, when you watch them with other people, they have a completely different experience. I'm also a bit too insidery on this particular movie.
You have to tell us that story.
Okay, so
let's get into the meat of the podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a bit like the Jill Dando that's
good. Prince Andrew's about to send an assassin around your way then.
I'm Jill Dando of the Chatting Pictures podcast. Let's get into this crime watch.
And I'm the Princess Diana of this.
Prince Andrew sent a fucking assassin right through that window right now, mate. Anyway,
come on, spill the tea.
So I had, as I said, I had issues with the casting because the casting is just like, you know, Team US or you know,
Team USA.
I said Team US, but you know, the why they spent £4 million was not in the filmmaking, which was very, very good and very competent, and the special effects were actually really good.
Actually, the special effects were brilliant.
They were,
it was 2012 too.
The CGI is actually brilliant.
Yeah,
the CGI
it still
is
holds up, and
also not only that, it's actually the actual scenes actually are really, really nice in this movie. Like when they have all the shots of the countryside.
The cinematography and everything. Yep.
Well, we're going to hear it's obviously not because
exactly.
Mac is going to spill the beans.
Well, I read an interview with a writer who was promoting the DVD release of the movie, and it was Den of Geek, which is a very sympathetic website to horror movies and everything. And he was saying the money didn't actually get spent on the CGI or the special effects. That was very cheap. We had to cut the budget from $6 million to $4 million. By just getting rid of the cast. It's the fucking actors who are the fucking expensive bit in this movie. And I don't think they're all that good. Your man, his accent wasn't that great, right?
No, his accent was terrible.
Yeah.
As we were talking about accents, whose accent was better though, John Wayne's or his?
Was it John Wayne's?
Well, John Wayne played in America.
just did his own voice, like. But
he had a voice coach though in this film.
Well, he must have fucking three or four because he had about four or five different accents every time every time the camera moved. Like,
supposedly,
you know what I mean?
I read an interview with he had one of the best accent coaches in the world.
And he still didn't do any fucking decent job on him. Like.
So, do we have any Ra connections in this?
Well,
movie?
I was gonna say this movie is definitely not in the Ra.
There was no
recommendations of any.
There was actually.
What was that?
Semtex.
Yes, there was. Very well spotted, Andreas.
Yeah.
But he said we should just blow them all up. Do you have any Semtex? Well, not on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said not on me at the minute. So yes, that man was all.
That, was
that
a
man.
Slight action.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So
yeah.
Maybe in Sinn Féin then. So I don't know. I was about to say it's not in the rat. Do you reckon it is in the rat then?
I'm gonna say he was
because
like,
there's also that Russell Fulby goes, "God, you're so Irish," and saying in an English way, "You're stupid," which is one of the fucking most hateful fucking racist things that English people say about
Irish
people.
Does it annoy you when English people call you stupid? Because
It doesn't annoy me personally. My cousin who lived in England for quite a while considered that like the worst thing that English people could say to her. To go back to the gossipy story, right? So, do you remember the bit where the crowd is in the bar and the aliens start invading the bar,
uh-huh,
and they start finally going upstairs.
Yeah.
And one turns around and goes, "What the feck is that?" Do you remember that bit?
Uh-huh.
That was totally unscripted, and that was an extra who fucking went way above and beyond his fucking remit. An extra is supposed to be in the background, you're not supposed to notice him. But this guy has fucking form in this. His name is Maggie. I can't remember his second name.
Item, Maggie, item.
I will fucking item because he just fucking showed me the river so many times about fucking things in him. Anyway, you'll also notice him in Derry Girls. Do you remember the episode where they're trying to get out of the orange marches? Their car is stuck and the march has to go around the outside of them. Do you remember that bit?
Mm-hmm.
And there's somebody who keeps fucking rapping the window.
Yeah.
And every time the camera moves, he starts going up to them and rapping the window again. And every time the camera moves, he's rapping the window again. It's like he's the most fucking indisciplined extra of the fucking planet. And he fucking annoys the fuck out of me.
Is that a point?
The point of an extra is to be in the background and not be noticed. And he was loving the fact that he got into this movie. He fucking broke all rank and then got fucking put into the movie and of quite
is that how you get noticed?
Well, clearly because, you know, everything we're told is like, don't interrupt, don't make a scene. You're just the background. You're just.
Then why are you listening to imperialist actors?
Yeah, you don't like. Nobody likes sheep, Maca. We all like sharks.
Well, that was me. That was me. Bit about him. He's just fucking. You know,
We wanted some juicy gossip here. We didn't
want.
We didn't want him.
This cunt won't just fucking behave himself. He keeps fucking getting himself in the way. You know.
I was looking for some Jeremy Kyle shit.
I want to hear about the Harvey Weinstein of Belfast.
Yes, I want to hear about the Harvey Weinstein of Belfast.
So the Harvey Weinstein
of
Belfast.
Turn that mic around. I want this in.
Okay, I'm actually going to write up to this fucking microphone because I want to fucking get this off my chest. The Harvey Weinstein of Belfast is a man called Mark McCrory, right? And do you remember...
Could this go wrong? Could this go very
no,
wrong?
No, he's already been convicted twice.
Speak out.
Yeah, twice he's been convicted. He was the most successful actor's agent in Belfast for about 10... Well, while I was doing it for about 10 years, right?
Okay.
And everyone knew he was doing the fucking casting couch and shit, right? So he was getting young actresses in.
But Maureen O'Hara wouldn't do the casting couch.
Well, if you're a 19-year-old coming out of Belfast Tech and you're getting this exciting opportunity with Mark McCrory, who's already been getting people in the last... conceivably in the last month or two... getting them onto the BBC, getting them onto the Lyric stage, getting them onto the fucking, you know, the big shows. He brings you in and he says, oh, the best way to do this, we have to rehearse a sex scene. So why don't you get yourself comfortable, you know, just take your bra off, all that sort of shit. This is the kind of stuff he was getting up to.
Everybody knows it.
What?
How can you get away with that in these modern times?
Well, this is what he was doing, and this was fucking known throughout the Belfast.
And did nobody record him or anything, or what?
He was already fucking admonished and convicted for it once, right? And he still kept getting. He still had the most successful clients in Belfast. For example, you've already mentioned The Fall. Brona Waugh was one of his major clients, and she was in Hollyoaks. She was in The Fall.
But is he still her client?
Well, he then got convicted a second time. At which point, the court. Ruling was that he couldn't own an employment agency, and then obviously everyone.
Oh, I saw that.
And that was only about 3 years ago when that finally happened. That it all broke apart, but they're all happy to fucking, you know, keep paying him to get his actors, without fucking, you know, expanding their net to the other acting agencies. For example, mine, because I refuse to fucking work with them, having heard all these fucking stories, and it fucking did nothing but harm my career. Being a fucking, you know, being. What do you call it? Having a bit of fucking...
integrity?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's like, I'm not going to work with this cunt. But everyone who did was like... And I would speak to actresses my own age, and they're like, yeah, I know what he's like, but I just make sure I'm not alone with him.
Well, that's
then,
bullshit,
and then
obviously
they would get into Game
things.
Of Thrones, and then they would get into The Fall, and then they would get into fucking
yeah,
shit like
I
this.
Yeah, but I
actually
do think that's bullshit. And what did you know what else I think is bullshit?
That is
was,
bullshit.
Was when you see, like, Meryl Streep getting up and clapping for...
Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
And Martin Scorsese... When he did that Gangs in New York film, which was a 20-year labor of love for him, right?
I didn't really like it, though.
No, nobody liked it because it fucking turned out to be a sort of muddled pile of shite. But the concept of what he was trying to do was only accessible because Harvey Weinstein, you know, funded it. And he had to go up there and he goes, one thing I'd like to say, thank you, Harvey Weinstein. You know, at the top of his game... He was fucking giving this clawing little, you know, thank you, sir. Thank you for your milk, sir. Thank you, you know. Please, sir, can I have some more? This is Martin Scorsese, like. And, like, this kind of shit was happening all over the place, and it was happening in Belfast. And now Equity, you know, 6 months after the Harvey Weinstein thing came out, they were like, oh, we can now put into place how we have safety procedures in place. So this never happens
where,
again.
Where are the safety
procedures? It's like,
players?
Where the fuck were these before? We what? All knew this was fucking happening, like, do you know what I mean?
Well, if you knew, Mackie, you should have done something about it, hey?
I did fucking do something about it. I didn't fucking accept
aye.
It as my agent, and
aye.
I wouldn't hire people.
And
yeah.
That is actually
what?
Really
you didn't suck his dick, and that's why you didn't come famous,
well,
Mackie?
I didn't suck Kevin Spacey's dick, and that's why I didn't come famous.
That's
do you know
true.
What I mean?
That is true.
And I didn't have the opportunity, but... I was 6 blocks away.
that was a long
dick. Because anyone who's in art and, you know, you always think that the opportunity will present itself. And I lived in London, I studied music in London, I played music in London, and you know what opportunities do come up. That they'd say that, well, you know, if you do this for me, then I can get you here and I can get you there. And I've had situations where that's happened to me. But, like, you know, you just have to refuse to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, do you want to, like, if it came to the point where, you know, I would shag some casting director, and then they put me into fucking, you know, opposite Brad Pitt in the biggest movie of the year. I'd be happy enough hurting myself out, right? Do you know what I mean? I'm a low maintenance type of guy, like.
No, but like, there's one thing, but then there's the choice of doing it and then complaining about it afterwards, or the, like, you know, if you're going to be one of these big, really highfalutin actors who's like, you know, if you're going to hear yourself out to do it, then don't complain about it afterwards.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain about it afterwards.
But see, the thing was, Kevin Spacey, like, he was basically, from what I gather,
he was
banished out of Hollywood because it was well known, and then he went to London, to the Old Vic Theatre, which I used to live beside
as well.
And remember, were you there at the time where he got his nose broke? I was telling him these ones during the interval.
I went and stayed with you beside. You said he was always hanging around the Imperial War Museum when you lived there.
Yeah,
and I stayed with you that time.
And that's where he got his nose broke. So basically, he was fucking groping around some randomer, and some randomer turned around and fucking just headbutted him or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it turned, and before the story got out, it was in the Evening Standard the next day, or the Metro or something. Oh, he fell over walking his dog. He tripped on a log or something. Made sure his story was out before the actual story got out, which was his fucking, you know.
But that's why you have a publicist.
Well, yeah, exactly. And this is what he did all the time. And remember when the actual story broke?
The guy with the watch. It was the guy. He abused some guy in the toilets, or he grabbed his penis in the toilets or something.
No.
He gave him his Rolex watch, and then everyone in his family's like, "Why have you got like a $30,000 Rolex watch in your arm?" He's like, "God, because Kevin Spacey tried to touch me up in the toilet," and he's a waiter at the Old Vic.
I remember that.
Okay, that's not the bit I was chatting about. I'm chatting about the bit that actually broke him. The bit there. Whereas, like, there was a boy who was 14, and he conked out on Kevin Spacey's sofa, and Kevin Spacey fucking raped him, basically.
Basically? I don't think he did. Did he not just lie on them or something?
Yeah, I think the story was...
He just lay on him and rubbed on him.
Okay, right. Well, whatever. But Kevin Spacey literally came out, the fucking story was a big fucking Instagram thing. I choose to now live as a gay man. I have also lived as a gay man my whole life. I have chosen to live this way. He went straight out and said, try to get the fucking sympathy vote before the fucking story broke.
Yeah, but is that what Phil Schofield done?
Hmm?
Is that what Phil Schofield done?
Well, I knew he came out, but what was he...
Well, he didn't have any, like, badness to do with it, but, like, then why did he come out and just be like, oh, I'm now gay after...
All of a sudden? What do you think?
All of a sudden?
You think he had pressure from a story
that might have been the case of... You know, the Daily Mail said, here, we've got the story that you've been...
Well, that's what I assumed.
Which is different than, here, you've been done for... So somebody's just said you've raped a 14-year-old. I choose to live as a gay man. I choose to live as a gay man. Like, it's not even I am gay. It's I choose to live as a gay man. And I've had things where I like 14-year-olds.
I have a question about all this, right? On a scale of 1 to 10, where did you rate Kevin Spacey as an actor? Maka?
Probably 8 or 9.
I agree, too. Yeah. I thought he's absolutely brilliant.
He's a brilliant actor.
Oh,
he's
his sister?
I know.
Sorry? Sister?
Yeah.
Sissy?
Yeah.
Is that a sister?
Yeah.
That's not a sister.
His sister's in, what do you call it?
Sissy Spacey.
His sister's in, Shameless.
I have no idea.
Oh, I don't know. I can't think of that. But again, like I said,
he's played for Google.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey, absolutely brilliant actor. And it's so disappointing that I won't be able to see him again on TV.
Yeah, you will. He'll just go on his YouTube where he goes on his tells how close people are to find him, then end up dead.
Do you remember when he was pretending to be Frank Underwood on the anniversary at the same time as like another allegation came out against him?
Yeah. he did it twice in a row.
Yeah, it was pretty.
He's got this idea he's untouchable, and he probably is because...
But is he untouchable?
Because clearly, he's not been convicted of anything, and everyone who rises up against him ends up dead.
Like, is there any evidence against him?
Yeah, everyone is brandmarking him now as, well, an alleged, or as a rapist.
We wouldn't like cast any aspersions, especially on the Chat and Pictures podcast. But
yes, and I was about to say, we need to start fucking wrapping this up.
So,
I'm going to take over his host.
No, you're not taking over his host. Right, so anyway, Have you any final thoughts about this movie? So, was there anything that you liked, anything you didn't like, anything you would change on this movie, Andreas?
It was a really enjoyable movie to watch.
So, if you were going to say that this movie occurred in Austria, so is there anything that would have been different in Austria? Like, you know,
for example, the whole island part.
Yeah, no, obviously, no island.
Water.
So
body of water.
Instead of being allergic to alcohol, would they be allergic to schnitzel or wurstel?
Well, you have to do something else. Like, well, maybe they could have changed the rain to snow, and if it would set in winter, then, yeah, it could work, I would say, yeah.
Have you anything else to add?
Did you say something interesting for fuck's sake?
this is the first and last time Andreas is on the Chatting Pictures podcast. Thank you for listening.
He is now cancelled.
Andreas has been hashtag
cancelled.
Andreas has become our first victim.
Thank you for inviting me. What is the charge?
Dafik de Kein Laden in the Chatting Pictures podcast. Thank you. William, Gefeldes dear grabbers?
What I'd say, I really enjoyed the film. I liked the way it looked. Unlike James, I think the acting was quite good, actually. Maybe the accent of the main girl wasn't the best, but yeah, the fear guard. She was quite good. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. Now I have to say, it was quite. You know what? If I was sitting with friends and had like one or two drinks and I was sitting watching it, have a brilliant time.
Well, is that not what you've done?
It was. No, it was brilliant.
No, you said YouTube.
You said friends.
Friends.
Yeah, not well wishers. Or...
So, James, do you have any final words about the movie?
Are you asking him for his stats?
No.
All right, okay.
Who is hosting this podcast? Am I hosting this
podcast? Well, I want to see what the procedure was. Okay, no, fair enough. Yes, the filmmaking was very good. The acting was good. I just had a problem with the casting, which is a different kettle of fish.
But do you think that you may have like a negative connotation of that because you were invited onto the casting couch for the...
No, I wasn't invited.
I wasn't invited onto the casting
couch.
He wasn't invited to
the casting couch?
No, I heard about this movie through people being extras on it and etc. as I mentioned earlier. And I was looking forward to seeing it and I didn't enjoy it. Two times I've watched it now, and I didn't.
Did you watch it by yourself both times, or?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy it, and it wasn't. You know, there is a Sublime, which is Shaun of the Dead, and this, as I said, copying the formula and you know trying to recreate the moment is not the bad thing. It's just they didn't do it. To my opinion, didn't do it rightly, or correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it comes to the point of the show that we're going to rate this movie, and anyone who listens here...
Let's hear yours.
Oh, my last words. Well, I have to say...
Tell my mother I love her.
Tell my mother I said hello.
I have just been taken into Kevin Spacey's dungeon, never to be seen up again. But I think actually this movie, I really, really enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed it the first time I watched it. I thought the casting was quite good. I liked the fact that the square English character was a complete asshole that you actually really wanted to hate. I liked the fact that the Vanguard was actually quite a good looking woman who I would never be attracted to. I liked the fact that the Fear Guard was... Yeah, just an alcoholic asshole. Like, just like me.
If you were going to be a guard in an island, why would you not get drunk?
Well, if I was going to be a guard in an island and I was going to fight, like, a complete, like, alien thing to come on, well, you know what? I'd be drunk because I always want to be the hero of the story. So, I'd be drunk the whole time. And then, as soon as this alien comes down and I love this woman, well, I'm going to be sober.
Did he love her? I don't think he did love her.
Well, I know. Well, like, every hole's a goal.
All right, Marty, this is it.
I jest. No, actually, I really enjoyed the fact that I thought there's like a lot of comedic movies about a lot of comedic scenes with the movie. I like the fact that you're going, "They're after you, Barbara," and the next thing the woman gets sucked up the chimney. Like, I thought it was, I really enjoyed this movie. I really, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it the first time I watched it. I enjoyed it the second time I watched it. And yeah, so I'm gonna give it my steaks.
How many snakes on a staff out of 10 are you gonna give?
I'm gonna give this movie 8 snakes on a staff.
Ooh. It's better than, in your opinion, better than The Quiet Man.
What did I give The Quiet Man?
I think you gave it 7.
I think I gave it.
I'm not comparing it to The Quiet Man because I was over excited.
It's the same rate.
Do you know what? William, basically, the problem with William was, William had the Quiet Man premature ejaculation.
I did.
I give it nine snakes. These are just wee baby snakes. He just forked out of a nest or
no,
something.
It was little robbers. Robbers there going like, "Oh my god, there's so many of them." Bing.
All the while there's a fucking anaconda coming in behind him.
I rate this movie higher than Darby than the Little People, definitely. I'm gonna rate it maybe eight snakes and stuff.
Eight fucking right. What do you?
No, ask Andreas. We'll give Andreas the last word on it.
So you can cut it out.
Yeah, exactly.
we're
removing your necklace, Andreas.
I have to practice my German here.
Andreas will give it 9 out of 10.
He got off a pen in Dublin
Airport.
I can get it. Andreas is going to give it 9 out of 10. Get it?
Does he don't like it?
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Alright, because 9 is no.
I think I give it 6 out of 10 snakes on the staff.
So this is the last time you're going to see Andreas on the podcast.
You could see like how the movie will go, like after the first 20 minutes. But well, it was still enjoyable. Like, it's a good laugh with your mates.
O'Hara.
But it's not like real Kino, I would say.
I would put this caveat on Andreas's experience. We're in a fucking lockdown for the last 6 months, and this is the first time he's been in fucking company of people who weren't, you know, the 70
German speaking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So he's a bit delusional, like we all are. Do you know what I mean? So we can't really.
Well, James, how many snakes on the staff would you give this movie?
Fucking 3.
3?
Yeah,
snakes
fuck
on
this
staff?
Noise. I
fucking James,
now,
I think that is actually
excessively low.
Yes.
I'm giving it 1 star for its fucking special effects.
There's no stars.
1 snake for its special effects. Right? 1 snake for its locations were quite nice. 1 snake for, okay, they acted okay. The script was just fucking, the romantic subplot was so shite. The fucking,
I don't really think there was much of a romantic subplot.
Right,
exactly. That's what I fucking mean.
I don't think there was
that. Oh, do you think I think you know?
No, but I don't think there was
meant.
I think it was meant to be.
Like,
that.
Lighten up, have fun.
Yeah.
Like, have
fun.
William, how would you, how many snakes and staff would you give this movie?
No, I will give this film, yeah, I'm giving 8 snakes and staff as well. 8 snakes and staff.
Right,
I give it 8 as well. I think 8 is good. I think this movie was so much fun. We really enjoyed watching it. We enjoyed watching it too, Zavin.
I will say, the guy getting dragged off the beach into this ocean.
That was brilliant.
That was a brilliant scene.
I thought that when I watched that as well. I think that's class.
No, because normally in them movies, like, they just tie her up to someone and they just pull them. But actually,
fantastically done. Him trying to grab the sand, and obviously there's no.
And it's straight up.
Yeah,
that was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. The first 15-20 minutes, it was actually the guts of a good film there. So that's why I gave it 3.
But then did it falter?
For Mac, it faltered, whereas I quite liked the whole.
I enjoyed the whole.
The premise is a good premise. Like, I'm totally on board with the premise.
The premise of it. I enjoyed the fact that there was, like, I loved the supporting cast. Like, I loved the barman and the barwoman. I didn't love the two lead characters. Like, who goes on a sabbatical to an island? Like, if I went on holiday...
But she wasn't going on a sabbatical, was she?
Yeah, she was posted there.
She was going there to impress.
But,
No,
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun. It was, like, you know what? It's like a... Turn it off. Look at, like, go out with your friends, watch a movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the director said. He just wanted to make escapism, and that's what you're describing, is just a bit of escapism.
I agree with you. I think, like, if they had, they could have carried, if they had, I don't know if it was because, like, as you said, like, budget and stuff, but I can see where...
Well, they didn't have problems with budget, did they? Yeah. They had 5 million, like...
Yeah. No, but...
Four million. Sterling.
Yeah. I can see...
Great British...
Yeah, which would probably buy you maybe a pack of crisps these days.
Yeah. I could see
Brexit fucked it up.
For when you said about it started going downhill, I didn't mind it because I thought it was, for me, that's where it started fun. But if they had it went on more of a serious tone from then on, you could see it actually being like a really, really, like probably famous film.
That could have been a classic, a horror classic.
That could have been a famous film. But for me, it's still a classic because I don't know. I don't know what it is about it. Maybe it's just because I think it's because it's conscious. Actually, there's a lot of Irish stuff in it. Even a lot of the words they say. I know it's meant to be stereotypical about them wanting the lock in and stuff is here, but you know what? Somebody said to me one time, "Oh, I've been to a wedding. There was a free bar, and I could not believe it. Hey, and I just thought to myself, I wish I was there."
as I said, I've no promise. I've no
so
promise
you know,
the premises.
So a lot of that there, I was thinking, you know what? It's probably that I find that realistic. Maybe if they had kept it unrealistic at the start, the whole part where it was really serious, I was thinking, yeah, it probably would have been like a really, really famous horror film. But the way it
so
was, I still
final
liked it.
Snakes on the staff will
eight.
Be eight.
Eight for
oh,
me.
Oh, I am.
Three.
Six. And I'm eight. Well, Emily, thank you for listening this week to the Chatting Pictures podcast. So now I'm going to just give everyone a night here. So, James, how would you like to promote your next project that you're doing?
So you can find me on YouTube. Just search for James McInnesby. I have Oasis videos. I have Father Ted podcasts. I have actors show reels. I have outtakes and everything. Just search James McInnesby with a Y so you don't get mixed up like the fairies did.
Exactly, and like what number would you find you in the child sex offenders register?
Number two.
I'm gonna fucking label you. Come on,
I'm
gonna
cut
a fucking
that
joke.
Out.
Yeah.
So good.
Why the fuck
that
you
out.
Do that? You shit.
No,
I have to say something.
No, I like this.
Yeah, that's what I'm.
Say something.
Well, to be fair, Liz left, sank ships, you know.
Jesus.
Just to clarify, I'm not on any fucking register, I'm not on any list. Pardon me with the CIA.
But you are
list.
On the spectrum, Micah.
I'm definitely on the spectrum, on several fucking spectrums.
Right, well,
I'm just a complete nutter cunt in every conceivable way.
Right, well,
but I'm not on any list.
What have you got going on? You have to Abita's Ian to the podcast this week.
All to the plebs that are listening to us, Morty.
The slat of Wiley of the week.
Yes. What have I got going on this week? I may make another brew for the next podcast. It might be an Australian lager. Can I also say that before I go that it was very nice having Andreas here to lend his European ear and eye to the film.
So, Andreas Manfuhrer. thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
What did you think about the Irish movie podcast that you were on today?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting idea. Like, as you might know, I'm here for development purposes, like with Semper UNICEF. And I have to say, it's like Ireland has made a tremendous progress there. I'm here for the voting whenever they are.
Feeling liberdank.
Yeah, you can't find me on YouTube, you can't find me on Facebook. If you want to, you can send me a fax
You sounded like the A-team. You can't find me, you can't find me
there. Interpol's most wanted. As the victim, I'm the bloated water corpse.
Your address, feeling liberdank. willkommen zu der Charlie Patches Podcast.
Vielen Dank für die Einladung. Ich bedanke mich herzlich. Danke für William, damit dass er das ganze Equipment zur Verfügung gestellt hat und auch die Räumlichkeiten. Das war sehr schön. Danke auch an James für alles. Er hat uns sehr unterstützt mit seiner Kamera und seinem Mikrofon. Ja. Danke an Martin, dass er diesen herzlichen Podcast ins Leben gerufen hat. Ja, es bereichert sicherlich das Leben von vielen. Und
danke, danke an.
Hope Micah's children are doing well. Micah's an absentee father. He doesn't know his children.
How many fucking children?
Well, anyway, thank you all for listening to the Chatting Pictures podcast. We have so much, like,
happy about everything except acceptance.
Kid me love ultra-root. Kid me love ultra-root. Kid me love ultra-root. Micah obviously doesn't go to chapel.
I don't go to chapel.
Well,
I try to disassociate myself with the fucking pedophile Catholic Church as much as I can.
Right, Slán a bhaile. And Andreas, would you like to give your out for tonight?
And now on Grafton Stress. Das war unser heutiger Podcast. Und
wir sehen uns.
Shut it down.
Mein Name ist Andreas. Ich hab euch lieb. Auf Wiedersehen.
No one cares about you.
And we're clear.
Clear.